I want to add my encouragement for you to prayerfully respond and put in the offering box what the Lord would have you give to our missions this year. Right after this month is over, we begin to review what the total was that came in, what our missionary needs are. Some of them are under-supported, or they're supposed to be at this amount. They're at 80%, something like that. We always review that. Sometimes we have a little bit of an increase, and we are able to either give to our missionaries a little, help out a little bit more, and in some cases even to add a missionary. And there have been some years where we've had the amount has been lower or much lower, and we've had to do a decrease. And of course, the pastor's heart, if we can avoid doing that, I'm looking forward to how the Lord provides. Martin Luther, that has been in reference today, interesting character. Not a saint in the Catholic sense especially, but a man that had a radical change of view about authority in the church and a view of the scriptures. Some of you are aware that in, I think it was 1505, he was in a lightning storm. Some say he was hit by lightning or struck nearby, and he cried out. He ended up going to a monastery, which he would admit was a mistake, but he said there were still some things that he learned there. And at one point he said, "If I could be sure that God's anger was removed from me, I would stand on my head." Well, thankfully, he didn't have to stand on his head because Jesus died on the cross. And Luther, instead of looking to pacify God or do works to offset the wrath of God, came to realize that Christ had died in his place so that he might have the forgiveness of God. Well, let's open with a word of prayer, and we'll look all over the place today on text on slander. Okay? Lord, we do want to worship you with a joyful heart. We not only want to be a church that loves you, but we desire to be a body that loves the truth and loves the church, your church that you died for. We ask that the Spirit would help us put all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from us today. Make us to be tender-hearted, forgiving, a people who build up and not tear down. As the body of Christ, help us to value your image and work in others. Our spirit and our speech must be radically different from the calumny of the world that's so prevalent today. Lord, our dear Savior is gentle and compassionate and a God of grace, and we would be like Jesus today. In your name we pray, amen. Newsflash, Satan has been a liar since the beginning. And he would love to sow discord and disunity in the church today. And he does quite often. And Christian unity is so important that you and I should value it, should seek to maintain it, should be on guard and vigilant for it at all times. It's important to God. It should be to us. You have probably used an ant trap at some time in your life. I thought about bringing a mouse trap and an ant trap to show you the difference. But those ant traps, that little spring is really small and hard to get back. As we know, the difference is a mouse trap, you have to clean up afterwards when it works. It's like, that did work. Oh. A mouse trap, or an ant trap, you put that in the corner, and you're actually hoping that not just to get the one ant that you saw or the one ant that happened to come by that day, but you want it to come into that trap, get that poison on it, sufficient enough that it takes it back to the colony, and not to be too grotesque, but that it wipes out the whole colony. The poison that the tempter uses has been effectual for years. And slander is one of those. And you may not even suspect that what you just heard was slander. And Satan would love for that to get on you and for you to take and share that with somebody else and malign a person's reputation. And what Satan, the news that you hear is laced with deceit and animus, and he hopes that we take that hatred, that lie, and spread it, and so it all are affected. To do the right thing with a piece of information or news that we are aware of, to go to a person and say, is this true? Do you see that this is sin? How can I help you on this? That is beneficial. That's sometimes necessary for the whole church. That's an activity of love. And we are to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. But to take a piece of information, a story, a report that you've heard, and to take it to somebody who doesn't need to know, should not be in the loop, can't do anything about it, that's not beneficial. That's something else. To take a piece of information, to add a little bit of poison, I mean deception, I mean embellishment to it. And serve it as truth. And do so in a way that makes them look bad and makes you look better. That is slander. So let's first of all define it. What is slander? Because we live in a slander culture. It's all around us. It's always been that way. Say it's never been as bad as it is right now. How do you know? Does slander, is it so important, so dangerous that it deserves a whole sermon to itself? The only reason we would say no is because we become willfully ignorant of just how damaging slander can be. We forget just how much God hates it, Proverbs chapter 6. We forget what it does and the warnings against it. You have that word blasphemia in your notes there. It can be translated as slander, as blasphemy. The way that Paul uses it in Ephesians, Colossians, the way Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and his disciples in Mark chapter 7 is, and put it this way in your outline, character assassination. We're living in an age of character assassination. Now, as far as blasphemia, Satan would love for you to rail against God. The fool has said in his heart, no, God. See, you missed a couple words. And you would find those words, there is, in italics. It's really just it can mean that the fool is saying there is no God. But it could also be a railing against God, a defiance before God. And Satan would love for you to take away and deny something that God has revealed about his own character. Satan would love for you to add to God something that he has said that he's not. He would love for you to criticize God. But Satan also appeals to our sense of pride that we've talked about and encourages what is already in our heart. What is that? A readiness to attack the name, the reputation, the character of others. That's already in me? Oh, absolutely. That's what he's saying through this whole passage in Mark chapter 7. It's not that it's out there. It's not what you ingest. It's what's already in the heart. And in Mark chapter 7, verse 22, he gives us that next installment of sin, slander. Slander can be very direct, yes? It can be gossip. It can be malicious speech. It can be backbiting. It can be false reports, lies. But slander can also be quite subtle and come along saying, well, what I've heard, almost like a gossip, it's telling the wrong thing, or put it in a way that deflects off of you, but is always intended to tear a person down. Slander does not build up. Slander is not the Christian speech that we studied and read about in Ephesians chapter 4. It's damaging. It defames. It degrades in some way. It looks for ways to tear a person down. And false statements about somebody should have no place on the Christian tongue. I'm going to give you a quote that's been credited to everybody from Mark Twain to Winston Churchill. Somebody said it. Somebody said it. A lie can be halfway around the world before truth puts on its pants. I wish I'd said that, but I'm not the first one to say it. A lie travels fast. Truth, as important and powerful as it is, doesn't get out of the gate. And it's not the fault of truth. It's our fault, isn't it? Lots of people would have to say that. Let me ask you a question. Please be honest with yourself. Do you care about your reputation? If you say yes, I would say why. If you say no, I would say, why are you not being honest with yourself? Because we do care about our name, sometimes too much. To say, yes, I answered yes, Pastor, because my reputation reflects on the cause and the name of Christ. I understand that. If you say, I don't care about my reputation, I think you need to do an honesty test. Paul had critics at Corinth. Another news flash for you. And some of them, they loved to malign him. And he must have heard this from several sources, because he put it together in one verse. He said, they claimed, his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak. And Paul probably would have gone, guilty. And his speech is of no account. That doesn't mean that they were saying his letters to the churches, they seem to be authoritative, but his speech is, no. By saying of no account, they're saying they were contemptible. His words are of no account. They're contemptible. In a moment, a person, like a thief, can steal from you a good name. And Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, your good name, which is rather to be chosen than great riches. It's not saying that you should contend for a good name. You should insist on a good name. But characteristically, we do want a good name. We want to pass that on to a family. You don't want to pass on a bad name. The Jews turned the people that Moses was leading turned on him and criticized him and slandered him. And people like Korah went in attack mode in Numbers chapter 16. The Pharisees slandered the Sadducees, who slandered the Essenes, who slandered the Pharisees. They did a lot of verbal jockeying and attack against each other. But one thing is clear, the Pharisees attacked the person, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did they accuse him of? Matthew chapter 12, they accused him of being, The reason he does this by the power of Beelzebul, you know that, or Beelzebub, either one. One is, pick which one you want. One is the Lord of the flies, the other is Lord of the dung. They knew that that was damaging. They knew that when they said that wasn't true. They called him a bastard son. They called him an insurrectionist. They would come to him and say, Rabbi, teacher, all the while knowing what they had in mind was not learning from him, but catching him at something. So who's the hypocrite there? Matthew 22, verse 15 says that their agenda was to trap him. In your notes, it says slander is lying about somebody with the intent of causing others to have to hold that person in a negative light, and I would say, and us in a more favorable light. By the way, slander has always been part of politics as long as we've had politics. On day one of politics, the first politician, whoever it was, slandered somebody else. And we say, you know, I've been alive long enough to know that I don't believe the commercials or the ads. At first I do. Oh, he said what? He wrote what? He sponsored a bill that said what? Until we hear the other side. Oh, that's. But it should not be a part of Christian speech. The workplace. The chat board. The blog that you read, you're going to be exposed to slander at some point because we live in a slander culture, in a cancel culture. And you're going to hear malicious character assassination. Listen, when we are witnessing going on college campuses if you're Jewish, you have a red target on your back. When we see, since October 7th, some of these attacks, and we think, boy, it's bad out there. Guess what? Before October 7th and before there were attacks there, it was bad out there. There was sin out there. It's not that we look at, what is sin? Sin is falling short of the character of God. What is evil? Evil is intent on going after and attacking the character and the will of God and the people of God. And we live in a time where sin is all around us. And Christians are not immune from this. And Christian leaders are sometimes not immune from this. Your computer, your phone are not meant to be weapons of mass destruction. But sometimes they are. There, right now, somewhere around the world, is some missionary or some teacher or some pastor that is walking away from ministry because of slander. Somebody got to him. Somebody said, well, you know, that missionary, they're just here for the money. Or they stole my money. Some parent is thinking of suicide because of slander. Some young lady at some junior high in Ohio, possibly right now, is thinking of ending her life because of somebody went in attack mode and took her good name away. You get where I'm going with this. We've seen reputations destroyed. Slander is not about telling an account. It is about not telling what's true. It's telling what accusations will stick, will change somebody's perceptions. It's about getting them to question about the person you said, about that, getting them to believe your side. So it's character assassination. Secondly, it's ungodly behavior. I'll give you some references here, and please write these in your notes so you have them for later. Like a Romans chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Their throat is an open grave, and their tongues, well, with those tongues they keep on deceiving. And the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Paul describes wicked behavior and wickedness and the wicked in Romans chapter 1 through 3. And he warned those at the church of Rome about those who did not honor God, Romans 1, 21. Those who suppressed the truth, chose a lie, verse 18 and 25. Those who claim to be wise, but instead prove themselves to be fool, Romans 1, 22. And he describes just, again, a sample list of some of their rebellious behavior. And he says, those that are under the wrath of God, he says, they are full of envy, of murder, of strife, of deceit, of maliciousness. They are gossips. You know the next word? Slanderers. Haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. Oh, that, I don't want to be in that list. But we minimize, well, slander, I mean, when I do it, it's not really meant to hurt. Yes, it is. By the way, Satan, the deceiver, is also the accuser of the brothers day and night. He slandered God to Eve, saying that God was withholding his best from Adam and Eve, and he got them to believe it. Satan slandered Job, as we have studied on Wednesday nights for a while. God said, Job is this. And Satan came along and said, is he really? I don't think so. And he slanders the reputation of believers today. So we know what it is. It's uncomfortable to have a mirror of God's word put up before us and to realize, yeah, I still struggle with slander. I still tear down when I should build up. Why? Well, let's look at this second question. What should be done about it? Because the poison of slander is on their tongue. It's so effective in the hands of the adversary. And you and I have to be keenly aware that it happens not just out there. It happens in here. So first of all, point A, it should be confessed as sin before God. It's not cute. It's not acceptable. A certain team has been accused of cheating, and they should be thrown out of sports and out of the country. I'm just, that's my opinion. But one of the responses of some people is saying, well, you know what? Everybody does it. And some coaches are coming forward and saying, that's not true. But you and I should find no solace in saying, well, everybody slanders. But we should grieve to say, God hates slander, and I do it sometimes. What would cause us to slander others? Write down James chapter 4 and verse 1. Well, I would ask you, and to answer that question, what causes quarrels and fights among you? Is it not this, that the passions are at war? You know the next two words? Within you. Why would I ever slander? Why would we not, left to ourselves? Don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the flesh. Don't slander and attack others and try to benefit yourself. We're prone to wage war, to rage against what's out there, and fail to pay attention to what's in here. Love, the Bible tells us, covers a multitude of sins. We have to confess it before God. We should have a love for God and a love for those that God loves and a love for God's creation. And if you have engaged in the sin of a character, assassination, blasphemia, confess that before the Lord. Secondly, it should be exposed in all its forms. Peter admonished the church in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, to put away all slander, all kinds, in all of its forms, whether it's aggressive, whether it's subtle. Listen, we say, I'm not going to give it any quarter in my church, in my heart. Pride and envy both have to be battled so that we don't bring it into the church like an ant brings poison back to its colony. If we have evil thoughts towards others, we need to root that out. Well, it'll go away. Or like we said, everybody else does it. No, I'm Lord, help me to address the root cause of this. And when others come to you, maybe even this week, with some juicy piece of information that you think, well, might be slander, how are you supposed to respond? If it's gossip or it's slander, it's poison. Don't bring it back to the colony. Please don't bring it to me. And please don't let me bring slander to you. Don't take it to the colony. Expose it what it is. The best thing you can do for the one that is speaking or the one that is being spoken of is to put it away. I'll say more about that in just a moment. But how will listening to this benefit the body, the purity, the unity of the body? If it won't, then don't. It's kind of like if it won't fit, acquit. Let's just say it together. If it won't, then don't. If it won't benefit the body, then don't spread it. Thirdly, here's what we should do about it. It should be left to God to deal with. You say, wait a minute, you just said it should be exposed in all its forms. That's what we should do in our own heart. That's what we should be aware of. I want to be on guard, my eyes wide open to slander, what it looks like, what it does. But you know, when I'm being slandered, am I to go on a clear my name tour? It should be left to God to deal with. I'm going to use an example, and you can read about him later if you want. Nehemiah, he becomes, as you know, in that first chapter of Nehemiah, becomes aware of the broken down condition of the walls and of the city. He has a burden. He weeps. He confesses his own sin. And God employs him, calls him to be the leader to get those walls built up. And in chapters 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, they're having great success. And in chapter 6, Sanballat and Tobiah, they come along and they intend to do him harm. They intend to, at one point, draw him to a place, draw him to a snare, a trap, and have him killed. They say things about him. And so they resorted to Nehemiah 6:6. It's reported among the nations. Somebody is saying, it's reported among the nations that you and the Jews intend to rebel, and that is why you're building the wall. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 8, two verses later, Nehemiah wrote back, "No such things as you say have been done, for you are inventing them from out of your own mind." Don't you like somebody being direct like that? It's not happening. I'm not saying that. And that's not why we're building this wall. That's a figment of your imagination, not the truth. And Nehemiah says, "For this purpose was he hired, that I should be afraid and act in this way and sin, and so that they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me." All right, now let's ask. So what does Nehemiah do when his name is being slandered and people are trying to draw him in? Does he go on a tour around the city and clear his name? The answer is no. Did he stop and hide until all this was over? And the answer is no. Did he run? chapter 6, verse 11 tells us no. You know what he did? He prayed and he continued the work. So what are we supposed to do when somebody is trying to draw us into a trap or slander our name? You leave off the work to go clear your name. It's all about you. To say, you know what? I'm going to leave that in the Lord's hands. All I can do, I know my record. I can only make it worse. The more I try to stir things up, it's going to make it worse. Spurgeon was slandered for preaching the truth. His name was dragged through the mud at one point. And he said, quote, "The best way to deal with slander is to pray about it. God will either remove it or remove the sting from it. Our own attempts at clearing ourselves are usually failures. We're like a boy who wished a blot from his copy, but all his bungling made it 10 times worse." He tried to remove something and the stain, and he made it worse. Folks, don't be your own defender. That's the Lord's work. And finally, in conclusion, let me just say that careers have been ruined. Names have been dragged through the mud. Churches have been split up, and all by slander. And there's going to have to be an account given for all of this. The devastation of manipulated facts and slander is impressive and troubling. James 3:6 says, "The tongue is a fire." And then he goes on to say, "setting on fire the entire course of life." So maybe when you hear something, we ask ourselves, where am I most likely to hear slander? At school, in the locker room, in the break room, on my computer. Where am I most likely to hear it? Another question, what does Christ want me to do the next time that I hear damaging information? How should I handle that in a way that Christ would be honored? And another question would be, what sin in my heart needs to be ripped out by the roots so that I am neither inclined to listen to slander or spread slander? I'm not just going after the action, but the root cause. What loveless behavior is there that I would so easily engage in this sometimes? You have a God-given responsibility to rip it out by the roots. And the antidote is to love Christ as he loves us. John 13:34, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." Jesus says, "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." I've got good news for you today. Jesus will never slander you. Amen? And he knows the truth. Maybe people are, who's believing that? Why am I just now hearing about that? Who thinks what of me? No, Jesus, you know the truth. And you would never slander me. You might confront me. You might speak strong to me. You might rebuke me for sin in my life. But he will also forgive you when you slander and need to confess it. He will help you when you seek victory. When you are seeking victory in him. I'm going to leave you with this quote from John Bunyan. You know, Pilgrim's Progress, Holy War, other things. John Bunyan spent, I think it was a third of his life in jail. Does that sound about right? For what great crime? He wasn't going to be licensed. He was going to preach the word of God, but he didn't have the qualifications and the state. He was going to preach the word of God. And John Bunyan, I've read this several times this week. I wish I could say this in my own heart. He says, "Therefore, I bind these lies and slanderous accusations to my person as an ornament. it belongs to my Christian profession to be vilified, slandered, reproached, and reviled. And since all that is nothing but that, as God and my conscience testify, I rejoice in being reproached for Christ's sake. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you came in here saying, oh, on this subject, I'm rebuked because I've been the slanderer. And maybe some of you are saying, I'm hurting here because I've been the one slandered. And we probably are guilty of both. Church is a good place to come and be reminded from God's word just how offensive to God slander is. And how forgiving our God is to those who say, I'm not making excuses for myself. I am a habitual slanderer, and I come to God for mercy and forgiveness, seeking victory and help. Gracious Heavenly Father, give us a heart to do what's right. Grow us in Christ this week, especially as it has to do with our thoughts and our conduct and our desires and our responses. Put a watch on our lips. Put a lock on our heart, O God. May our speech be acceptable before you. We acknowledge just how toxic and corrosive our words can be at times. Let nothing detract from our mission, our gospel work. And when we sin, forgive us. And as we put away corrupting talk, Lord, help us to engage in that speech that we read before is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So, Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. Knowing the nature of our God, with confidence we draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.